This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
He's a dream come true.
Brady to throw, throws a deep pass downfield. Got Scotty Miller in the open.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Mahomes, Hartman, making the ghost action. They're going to run a float pass. Nussar, touchdown!
The Rich Eisen Show.
Wow.
Getting to the Super Bowl wasn't what our goal is. Our goal is to win it.
That's it.
And now we got to go get the big one, baby.
Unbelievable.
Earlier on the show, from NBC Sports, Peter King. ESPN MMA journalist Ariel Helwani. Still to come. News update, your phone calls, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. And this hour is about us. It's about you. It's about all of us together here on the show. It's 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Our guests, scheduled guests today, Peter King and Ariel Helwani. Have come and gone, and it's about us. Chris Brockman's going to give us a news update this hour. I've got not one, but two stories to tell you from some good backstory stuff from NFL game day morning. You see something on TV, you don't know the backstory to it. I've got a brilliant backstory coming involving Mike Mayock's appearance. Raiders general manager, but he's still an NFL network ball buster at heart. There's just no other way to put it.
M-A-S, a T-E-R, a G with a double E.
Hey, I said that. Go by the unforgettable name.
There you go. Let's see Brett Veach do that. Make the Super Bowl, but let's see Brett Veach do that. Let's see Jason Light do that.
Jason Light, yeah.
Come on now.
Rapper's Delight.
I know they're the general manager in the Super Bowl. Let's have them Rapper's Delight on live television. Mike Mayock. By the way, he could be listening on Raider Nation Radio and locally in Rich Eisen Show.
920 in Las Vegas.
Like, right, exactly. He could be listening right now, and he knows it. He knows it. He knows one pop culture reference. That's it. Movies. Stripes. That's
Stripes. I'll say Stripes and Sugar Hill Gang. Two.
Let's tell the story right now. Let's get this story right now. Okay. Mayock, who, you know, I mean, everything is an evaluation to him. Remember when we shot Draft Day together, okay? The scene from Draft Day we shot in Radio City Music Hall together. Okay. We shot it. Ivan Reitman, the brilliant director, Ivan Reitman. Name a comedy from the 70s and 80s, and he did it. I mean, like, honestly, he was part of the crew. He wrote Animal House. He directed Stripes.
Ghostbusters.
Name it. And he directed Draft Day. Film comedy royalty. And we met him on the floor of Radio City Music Hall before shooting it, just to go over the script. And Mayock, at one point, says to him, he goes, I got to be honest with you. First part of Stripes was great. Second part, not so much. And Ivan Reitman's like, well, you know, we kind of ran out of a budget, so we had to just make the second part of the movie, you know, from Europe. And, you know, he basically said that that's the way they had to do it. And when we were all done, I'm like, Mike, you know, not everything needs to be an evaluation where you tell the truth. Not everything.
Can't help himself.
So sure enough, okay, smash cut to NFL game day morning a couple weeks ago. There's something called an XO showdown. You seen that segment, Christopher? The XO showdown.
Yes.
Because Kurt Warner
had the belt
loves giving you an XO tape. What does that mean? Well, when you break it down, like, let's talk about it. Tom Brady's ability to throw over the middle. Let's break down the film. Let's show you the All-22 film and a spotlight here on this guy and then an arrow on this guy and a circle on that guy. And it's called an XO tape because it's about X's and O's. That's our... So Mooch loves to do it too, but Kurt has like a thing, and rightfully so. He's, you know, a dynamite, you know, Hall of Fame quarterback. He knows his X's and O's.
He's good at it.
We have our fun with him. Like, you know, how many X's and O's tapes do you have in this show, Kurt?
Yeah.
Do you want another one? We have our fun with him. So we ended up having something called an XO showdown where Mooch does his thing and Kurt does his thing.
It's great. It's really
and
funny.
They dress it up with bells and whistles and like zooming cars and rocket ships and all that sort of stuff. So The other day, Daniel Jeremiah, 2 weeks ago, they surprised Kurt Warner with an XO showdown out of the blue. Using Kurt knew that he was going to do an XO tape on, I forget who it was. And they dress it up by surprising him with Daniel Jeremiah joining us on remote, if you will, from Zoom, from home, challenging Kurt to an XO showdown on the spot. And they had all sorts of stuff, bells and whistles, dressed up for him on his tape. And they had Kurt do his tape as well, and an XO showdown. And then Mooch and Irv voted DJ the winner, and we kind of had our fun at Kurt's expense.
Of course, as you guys do all the time.
Correct. And we've been really laying into Kurt. Like, a couple weeks ago, he dressed in his suit. We kind of hammered him for his suit. And I said, how about tomorrow's show? You have one suit per each hour. And then he actually did it. And then we didn't notice it. We kind of treated him like that rookie who hits a home run and comes back to the dugout. We ignore him and don't high five him. We didn't make it literally has been a rough couple weeks for Kurt on the show. So our fantastic production staff decides to, let's have another XO showdown with Daniel Jeremiah, and then we'll have Kurt as the winner. Kurt will be the winner. And we will have Mike Mayock surprise everybody by, he's the judge who comes in and rules Kurt the winner. And they had him written down copy to basically needle Kurt a little bit, but definitely needle Daniel worse.
Okay.
And then give Kurt the trophy, the belt.
All right.
That was the way it was set up. Andy Gregg sends a text to Mayock explaining all of this. Literally how Kurt's had a rough couple weeks. We want to give him a win. We'd like you to give him a win. Here's the copy. They wrote the copy out for Mike to deliver to give Kurt the win. Mayock didn't respond for like 2-3 days. And Andy's like, okay, well, you know, he's the general manager of the Las Vegas Raiders. He's busy. So he sent him one more text saying, hey, look, I know you're busy. If you can do it, great. If not, not. He gets one back immediately from Mayock saying, sorry, I've just been involved with all these meetings. I'll get it to you overnight. You'll get it first thing in the morning. Remember, Mayock has been asked to give the award to Kurt. And this is what Mayock delivered and that we had to air because this was what he delivered to NFL Network.
What's up, boys? It's Mayock. This is a tough one. We've got two anal retentive ex-quarterbacks. One's in the Hall of Fame, and quite frankly, DJ, one's not. But I like the scrappy kid from App State. I think he watches more film than anybody in your building, and I'm probably going to have to give the nod to DJ. Sorry, Kurt.
Wow.
And thus, DJ won it, and Kurt had egg all over his face anyway. Mike Mayock, everybody.
Jeez.
Anal retentive.
Broke the mold.
Anal retentive quarterback.
How great is that?
One in the Hall of Fame?
What is it? But I know what you guys want back at NFL Network. I know what you're asking of me. Too bad.
That's the way it goes.
So I'm like, is it possible like that Mike didn't, you know, he kind of looked through everything real fast and didn't understand what was asked of him? Like, nope. And you could even see, for those who might not be watching, I'll explain to those on the radio, he looks down at notes that he is prepared about what to do. The one and only Mike Mayock, everybody, still telling NFL Network producers, it's my way. Now, I'm sure you might be sitting there going, no, I was always collaborative. He was. Push comes to shove, though. I just love that, man. Oh, man, that was just a great stuff.
That's funny.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's take some phone calls. There's tons of calls, and Chris, we'll get to your news update in the next hour. In the next segment here. Let's get to it. Ben in Mississippi's been hanging on for quite some time. How are you, Ben?
Rich and crew, my man, I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm well, thanks.
Ben, what's up, buddy?
So here's what I got for you. Let's run the hypothetical, and let's say Deshaun Watson decides to go cold red and says, I want to be traded. Considering the salary cap logistics and the fact that established franchise quarterbacks just don't get traded in this sport.
Correct.
The only one that really comes to mind that's close but not really that close is Carson Palmer forcing his way out of Cincinnati. Could this be a situation where the price is so rich, it, no pun intended, it is so rich, it takes three, maybe four teams where it goes into like an NBA type wormhole to make this trade work?
No. I think the Dolphins have a ton of draft capital, thanks to the Texans. And the Jets have a ton of draft capital. The Jets have two first-round picks this year and next. They could trade a first-round pick this year and next year and still hold on to one themselves. And they if the Texans do want Sam Darnold, they could also make that part of the trade. They can get somebody with 2 years of contractual control and just the same age as Watson. They can do it. I mean, it's sitting right there for them. It's just the question is, does Watson want to go there? And does Houston really want to do this? And I don't know, man. And thanks for the call, man. I know you've been hanging on for a while. I don't know, man. I don't know. Does the fact that they haven't hired a coach because they're waiting for somebody that just was coaching this weekend to hire somebody? Does the fact that they haven't hired anybody yet is that they're still on a coaching search? That they haven't found anybody that they totally like yet? Is the reason why they haven't hired anybody yet is because nobody wants the job until Watson's declared he's staying. I have no earthly idea what is going on there. And does the hiring of the coach have any bearing on Watson's decision to stay? You're here. I mean, literally once a week now, Adam Schefter is going on a playoff weekend on ESPN saying, doesn't matter who the coach is. Doesn't matter who the coach is, that it is going to be a Watsonless future in Houston. And that said, I can't imagine that the right coaching hire couldn't put all of this out. I'm not questioning Adam's information. I mean, his information is impeccable.
Yeah, of course.
But I don't know how this could be unsalvageable if he hasn't already declared that he wants out. I don't have a complete reading of it. All I know is that if I'm the Texans, would try and make a hire of a coach that fits two molds. One, I'm comfortable with the coach. Two, this fixes Deshaun Watson's relationship with me. And having Josh McCown interviewed could not be more of a provocative piece of information.
Just if you're optics, Deshaun Watson. It's like insane.
I mean, you're going to hire somebody who's never coached anywhere and give that person an interview, which means you're considering it, and that's the guy you're thinking of bringing here to coach me? Like, really?
Also, a guy who's under contract for next year as a player.
Well, I mean, that I understand. That, you know, he could just be done with that.
I understand, but he's on your roster as a quarterback.
It's like, look, I know you want to, if you want to do the guy a solid, do it another year. Read the room.
Read the room.
Jason in Asheville, North Carolina, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jason?
What's going on, boys? Thank you guys so very much for having my call.
Thanks for coming on.
Y'all the best for what you do, man.
Thank you. Y'all really are.
Hey, man, it was really, really depressing to watch Mr. Rogers at that press conference at the end there. And I just got to say, man, as a Niner fan, 2005 weighs heavily on our hearts collectively. And I just got to pound the table and say, come home, Aaron. Come home. All the bad people are gone. And we have the right people in place. You saw it last year. Come home. That's all I got to say, boys. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
You're good, brother.
I cannot imagine, again, a scenario in which Rodgers is not the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers in 2021. He would have to absolutely force his way out Harden style. That's what he'd have to do. And then, what, are they going to keep him in division? I mean, in conference, for real? They would have to ship him to the AFC team they will never see again. Don't forget, when Favre and the Packers broke up, they shipped him to the Jets. And he basically touched base there before showing back up in the division. So, think AFC. If anybody is even twitching in the direction of anything at all, that Rodgers is going to be out with 3 years left in his contract. Think AFC. Think Colts. Think Raiders.
Dolphins.
Seriously. Oh, the Dolphins. I mean, he's also got to sit here and think, though, that this is a better roster situation than Green Bay. I mean, if we're really going to go down this rabbit hole right now. You know, Davante Adams is no slouch, nor is Aaron Jones. That line is on off, you know, offensively. His offensive line fell apart on him towards the end of the season. But,
yeah, he got,
you know, I mean, they made the NFC Championship game back-to-back years. They've won 13 regular season games back-to-back years, you know. It's, again.
Also, I don't know why you'd go into the conference with Mahomes and Josh Allen. Yeah, the road is a lot tougher to get to the Super Bowl in the AFC.
I think when it's all said and done, he's going to realize this is the spot to be. But clearly, the drafting of Jordan Love is still on the man's mind. For him to basically sit there, and he kind of chuckled when he said, including me, talking about everybody's future up in the air. I don't think he was talking about 2021. I think he's talking about, we all know that my time is ticking here.
Yeah.
And everyone else's future's up in the air. And like I said, it cannot help the situation that Rodgers had right in front of him, the team that prevented him from winning his first ever NFC Championship game at home, is a team that's gone all the way in for a quarterback older than him, new to their team, all the way in. They're not drafting about, well, what about, you know, 3 years down the road, first round draft choice. They're drinking Tristan Wirfs right now for that guy, 43-year-old Tom Brady, or soon to be 43-year-old Tom Brady. Tristan Wirfs, let's go. What are we picking up on the waiver wire? Leonard Fournette, that's who we're getting. Let's go. Antonio Brown, his buddy, who he's been asking for months, even though Bruce Arians knows deep down this is rife with potential issues. Go, done. Rodgers sees that play out in front of him. And he's probably sitting there going, oh, okay. Jeff in Detroit. Jeff, knew we'd chat with you today, the day after the weekend where Stafford's departure is imminent. What do you have, sir?
Well, so far, Uncle Rich, I found, did get a call from my cousin who does the transportation portion, I told you, of high-end cars. And he said that the cars were wrapped up and ready to go, but the destination is unknown at this point. So it seems like there's some validity to, you know, I'm figuring he might end up in Indianapolis, but I'm not sure. I hope wherever he goes, he gets a chance to do what he needs to do. Just kind of piggybacking, though, on what you were talking about with Aaron Rodgers, it's truly sad. And, I mean, I kind of felt this pain because it's a slap in the face. It's almost like you don't trust me. We sit up and call him the best that ever did it. You let that man die on the field at the second yard at the second yard line with the end goal, the end zone right there. You let him go ahead and do what he has to do because you literally pulled the soul out of him. A little over two minutes left, you're down that far, and you kick a field goal. Really? Really?
I don't understand it, Jeff. And thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And the reference Jeff is making to is last week he called up, said that he knew somebody, what, at the Wayne County Airport? Mm-hmm. Who knows when people are getting ready to leave because a lot of their possessions are getting ready to be shipped.
Yep.
And that Stafford's cars are ready to be shipped. Colts make total, complete, 1,000% sense. They signed Phillip Rivers saying, this is the year. This is our window. Let's get Phillip. Let's go. Why not upgrade with the same sense, but a 2-year contract with somebody much younger and far more inexpensive than most? What, are you going to start from scratch? I'm telling you, man, what the Bucs are doing with Brady, obviously there's only one Tom Brady, as goes without saying. What they're doing, it's like they're all in. And guess what? They're not worrying about 2021 or 2022 or 2023 because that trophy is going to be in the case and they're going to look at it. And the way that they're operating cap-wise, it could be like, you know what, the old Hickory where that's the only one in the case for a long time.
Whatever.
But you could still make a movie about it and remember the days. Really? Great. I think this is going to be like, let's go. You got to win right now. You got to win right now. And the Colts are it works. It makes sense. If you're the Lions, you're getting him out of the conference. You don't see him for another 3+ years. Let's go. Get him out.
Great super hot take poll question. Which team most wasted their star QB's career? Packers, Saints, Chargers,
Saints,
Lions.
Saints?
Won Super Bowl.
They didn't waste it. Come on, Chris. How do they waste it? With the Minnesota Miracle? They wasted it by not having... There's a lot that goes into the reason why Brees did not make the...
They went to one.
I know. That's just looking at the record books and just seeing
Rodgers,
there's only one.
I've been hearing for years from Packers fans, greatest quarterback ever. One.
No, I know that. But I think the circumstances as to why Rodgers did not make this more than one Super Bowl, completely different. Come on. Come on. You're gonna compare Sean Payton with Mike McCarthy on this green earth. You're going to do that right now?
One.
Come on, Chris.
One.
844.
That's why I said it was a great hot tip.
I know. It's 844-204. I was actually beginning to consider doing that, just even though we're more of a glass half full program.
I know.
844-204, Rich, number to dial. Chris Brockman's news update. More of your phone calls here on this busy Monday. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. The Rich Eisen Show is back. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's sneak in another call before your news update, Christopher. All right. Let's go to Stan in Kentucky. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Stan?
Hey, Rich. Hello, everybody.
Thanks for calling, Stan. What's up?
I just wanted to talk about Aaron Rodgers maybe pulling Tom Brady this offseason. Because when they drafted Jordan, he hadn't even played it down. Did he even suit up, Rich? I don't even know if he did this year. And I just don't see the loyalty there. Plus, with Aaron Jones possibly going, other free agents, being a lifelong Packer and a Packers backer owner, got one of them shares in 98, I just don't see this turning out good for us. Especially remember Brett Favre and his situation.
Yep.
Now, where he goes, you're right a lot on the AFC because they don't want to see him. But like that caller earlier said from North Carolina on San Francisco, it makes a lot of sense if they can pull it off because they'd be the instant favorite.
Wouldn't they?
To play probably the Chiefs again because they are dominant.
Wouldn't they?
Asking you if you thought maybe something about that.
Stan, I just don't know. The difference is, Stan, between Brady and Rodgers is Brady was done with his contract. You know what I mean? Like Brady, he was going to be a free agent. That was it. And Rodgers has three more years left on his contract. And for him to force his way to San Francisco, Green Bay has already lost to San Francisco with Jimmy G as quarterback. They know there's no way on this green earth that they're going to provide San Francisco with the firepower to beat them through Rodgers. I mean, like that's almost like a pipe dream. If Aaron Rodgers was a free agent, then it's a totally different story here. But there's 3 years left on his contract, and I appreciate the call. And, you know, and Favre was retiring and unretiring and retiring, and it's a different situation. San Francisco would be lights out. You know, Bosa coming back and every, please, it's just not even, it's just not going to happen. And the just the mystifying thing is that all year long, the Jordan Love drafting was supposed to be a water off his back, and now it's something that's being brought up because of some of his comments about his future, and we're reading into it. And again, I don't believe it's his future for this coming year. It's about the whole concept of the future and him in losing and not winning in the small window that he thinks he still has left there. With all of these people who he thinks was his best chance to win in the last 9 years. On top of the fact that he saw somebody beat him with a team that's going all in for him, forgetting about the future. And the fact that he lost in the same round as the year before and nobody was drafted in the first round to help him get past it. Put it all together and that's the Rodgers you saw in the heat of the moment yesterday. Could be wrong. You ready for your news update over there, Christopher?
Let's go.
Let's go for it. Chris Brockman's news update here on the Rich Eisen Show. Go for it, Mikey. Hit it.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there?
Yeah, talking about this Aaron Rodgers stuff, Brett Favre was on Sirius NFL Radio today, said, quote, there's no way the Packers would do anything to jeopardize losing Aaron, adding that...
then why draft Jordan Love at all?
That Favre doesn't put too much stock into Aaron's postgame yesterday, just putting it up to frustration.
You know, I love Brett. He came on after the drafting of Jordan Love and called it for what he saw it as a canary in a coal mine.
Yeah.
You know, Packers won't do anything to, like I said, the drafting of Jordan Love is something that clearly sticks in Aaron's mind. Maybe not his craw, but it's sitting there saying, I know that the clock's ticking on Jordan Love. That's why they drafted him. And this is the year to win it. This is my year to do it. And I thought it was all set up to do it. And the team that's gone all in for their GOAT quarterback that just showed up there. I mean, Brady hasn't put in all the time since 2005 in Tampa that he's put in a Green Bay. I think that's why we saw the emotional reaction we saw yesterday. But what else over there, Chris?
A couple injury things from yesterday. Saw the Chiefs lost Eric Fisher with an Achilles injury.
Yeah, that's a significant injury going into a game against a team whose defensive line and Shaq Barrett and JPP are going off. They are going off.
Chiefs might be without both tackles for the Super Bowl. Andy Reid, quote, not optimistic. Mitchell Schwartz.
Oh.
Dealing with a back injury, will be available for the Super Bowl as well. Big piece of news right there.
No doubt about that. Something to keep an eye on, but definitely Fisher doesn't need any more eye on it because once you pop, you tear your Achilles, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
Oh, man.
Ravens GM Eric DaCosta said earlier the team is could look into signing Lamar Jackson to an extension this offseason. So that'll silence a lot of the Lamar haters there. The Lions hired Deuce Staley as assistant head coach, also going to coach the running backs.
Yeah, he's out. He's done with Philly.
Yeah, done with.
They're gonna go hire somebody who's from the Colts offensive coordinator. He's paying his dues. Yeah. Out. Oh man! And how about that? Did you see that? The news is that the Eagles. I heard that on game day morning yesterday. I think it was Ian reported or it was Garofolo. I don't know. It was in the segment with our law firm of Rappaport, Garofolo, and Pelissero.
Nice.
In our reporter's notebook, that the Eagles are letting it be known that Sirianni's going to make the decision about Wentz. And I saw that. I thought to myself, that's when you're in the middle of a six-hour show, and it's just kind of like, okay, I'm sure Doug Peterson would say, how come I couldn't make that decision?
Yeah, right.
How come I'm out of work? Because you wouldn't let me make that decision. So now this guy's going to make that decision. That's just another way to basically say, hey, everyone in the locker room who thinks that this guy's going to be, you know, our bag man for Wentz, it's his decision. So if Wentz is the quarterback, don't look at us. Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Got it.
Cole Beasley said today that he broke his fibula, the non-weight-bearing bone in his leg, in week 16.
Huh?
So that he played the rest of the two games of the regular season, three playoff games with a broken leg.
Cole Beasley, man.
Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda. Sipping tea.
Cole Owens over there with the broken leg.
Wow. Gosh.
Said it hurt versus the Colts.
I bet.
Somewhat less against the Ravens. Didn't bother him against Kansas City. Take a few meds and suck it up.
There you go. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Wow. Cole Beasley, everybody.
The blonde mamba. Cole Beasley.
Did you see Bills Mafia showed up in the middle of the night, 3 in the morning?
3 a.m. That's loyalty.
Yeah, but we knew that. Bills Mafia shows up everywhere.
They're a great fan base, man.
All right, this is kind of scary. Tom Brady's father, Tom Sr., was on ESPN Radio this morning, said that both he and his wife battled COVID at the beginning of the NFL season. Tom Sr. saying he was hospitalized for 3 weeks.
Get out of here.
I was in the hospital for 3 weeks, and my wife was sick with COVID at the same time.
Well, she's a cancer survivor. I mean, you want to talk about
survivor. Exactly.
High-risk group.
Didn't see the first two games of the year. Normally, they go to every game. First two games they ever missed of Brady's career because I was sick as a dog. It was a matter of life and death.
Man, I would.
Like anybody who goes to the hospital.
I'd lose track of downs, too.
Yeah, so now, putting in perspective how Brady played at the start of the year, he had other things on his mind.
Some of the nicest people, man. Some of the nicest people. I ran into them on the street in Atlanta after the big comeback. After they beat, I can't keep track. Who did they beat in Atlanta?
Rams.
The Rams, right. I ran into the street in Rams in Atlanta. They were just absolutely, it's like their first. Just neat people, man. The Brady's are really good people.
Couple NBA notes. Jason Tatum, not on the Celtics injury report, so he is going to be back.
There you go.
Making his returns. Been out since January 8th. Dealing with, he tested positive for COVID as well. And the Cavaliers looking to make some moves. Rich, you're wondering about Andre Drummond last week.
That's why they got Jared Allen, right?
Andre Drummond looking to flip some bigs for draft capital. Andre Drummond and Kevin Love could be on the move.
Andre Drummond is a walking double-double every night. Beast. He's amazing. Who could use him?
Everybody.
My fantasy team?
Yeah.
No, too bad. DFL TJ, everybody. That's the new, you've heard of DNPCD? DFL TJ over there.
Nice. It doesn't make sense.
In the Rich Eisen Show Fantasy League.
My basketball knowledge is top notch.
Our call screener's number one. Anywhere between, it just depends on the night. Me, you, or Sean Mitchell. Rich Eisen Show producer, we're 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Don Bowie sitting there right there at 5. Yeah. Sometimes he'll pop up to 4.
Yeah.
And then there's McLovin.
The basement.
There's Florio's kid for pro basketball talk. And there's brother from another, 6, 7, or 8. And who's DFL? The only one from the Rich Eisen Show in the second division.
TJ
Jefferson. Jeez. Can't believe you brought up fantasy talk.
You even gained a half a point yesterday, and you're still in last.
Here's the problem,
and
right?
His team name is Knee High Socks. We're talking like ankle. It's like ankle high.
TJ.
Here's the problem, right? When we drafted, I usually draft with my heart.
Oh, my gosh.
I went by a list, and I shouldn't have went by the list. I just should have picked the guys I liked, and now I'm suffering for it.
All right, so baseball news, Rich. We pulled off a trade today. Yankees send Adam Ottavino and Frank German.
Yeah.
And cash to the Red Sox.
There you go.
Exchange for a player to be named later.
All right.
I know.
Enjoy Adam Ottavino throwing 95 to 102 and then walking everybody loaded before he might strike somebody out or give up a grand slam. That was basically Adam Ottavino's time for the Yankees.
In a nutshell.
And they acquired him after he said he would strike out Babe Ruth, right?
Yeah.
Ghost.
There you go. Number zero in your program, number zero in your heart.
Yeah.
See ya. How do you use the Michael K.
And then
K
John
phrase.
Heyman has this, a couple of tweets here. And MLB sent out a memo saying the union rejected a deal for the designated hitter, universal DH, and expanded playoffs. MLB offered universal DH if the union agreed to expanded playoffs. Players union rebuffed the deal.
Let me just say this right here and right now, Christopher. Let me just sit here right now, right here, right now, right as here. We're done, as right we're now. Done, as we're 13 right days. Here. We're 13 right days from the Super Bowl. Okay. We're 13 days till the NFL is in their, as we call it, the NFL Network, non-playing season. There's no such thing as an off-season in the NFL. The non-playing season hits. That's when we will see the NHL and the NBA.
Yep.
March Madness bubbled up in Indianapolis. That's when we'll see all that. Let me just say this right here, right now. to Major League Baseball and its Players Association. I don't want to hear from you.
Why not?
Three words. Figure it out. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. You know what I don't want to hear? It from them. That's it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the arguing, the bickering, the this, the that, the dip, 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 dip. Already got that last year. Yeah. We got 60-some-odd games because of their nonsense last year.
Yeah, you're right.
And I know it's dollars and cents, and there but for the grace of sports gods go any league. I get it. I don't want to hear it. And I think I speak on behalf of all sports fans. Figure it out. I don't want to hear from you until that happens. Expanded playoffs, DH, you know, we're going to start here, we're going to start there, how many games, all that sort of business. Figure it out. Figure it out.
Play ball.
You got anything else?
Give us
the DH in the NL. Come on.
That would be great. I'll take it. I'll absolutely take it.
Pete Alonso will hit 78 home runs next year if we do that.
Oh, baby.
Let's go Mets.
Pete Alonso.
Doesn't Thor have some stick? Which one of your pitchers can hit?
DeGrom can do it all.
Sometimes the Mets will just turn him and say, we're not giving you any runs. You do it.
And he'll go out there and hit a two-run homer.
You do it.
The GOAT.
Because there's no – look, as much as the Stephen Cohen can change things, okay, coming in and think there's two things about the Mets that I'm not going to be concerned about as a Yankee fan. One is they'll eventually screw it up. Like saying Axe hiring Wags as the general manager.
Wags.
Like, seriously, it seems like Wags was their GM. All right. And so that's number one. Mets will screw it up somehow.
Why would you say that to me,
Richard? Two, it doesn't matter how much hitting you get. Your ace pitcher's not going to get any run support.
I mean, that's a true.
Seaver never did. Gooden never did. DeGrom's currently not. Name one in the history of your franchise where the ace pitcher's like, oh, yeah, I'm getting six runs tonight.
We'll score 13 the day before DeGrom starts.
That's
we'll
right.
score 14 Steven the day
Matz,
after.
Steven Matz is going to have a whole bunch of crooked numbers for him. But when DeGrom gets out there, nope.
One run.
That's right.
And guess what, though?
And I'm confident of that.
He'll give up zero because he's the GOAT.
I'm confident of that.
Let's go Mets.
844-LGM.
Wow.
844-204, it's number to dial. Josh Allen, God bless him, sweet kid. He's accepted my nickname of the Mandalorian for that video coming up.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're thrilled to be here every single day between 12 and 3 Eastern Time. Let's take a phone call here on the show. Let's go to Matt in Oklahoma. Okay, brother. You need a Rich Eisen bro hug today? What do you need? What do you need?
Nah, I'm good. We're party training here. We're over it. You know, well, here's the thing about that.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd have told me back in September that my Bills were going to go 13-3 and make the AFC Championship game,
you signed for it. Yep.
So I'm not gonna hate. Our time's coming, but we ran into a buzzsaw with Patrick Mahomes. It's fine. But I tell you one thing, the one thing that did kind of traumatize me today listening to your show was when I was talking about the Buffalo 0-4. When I was in ninth grade, when Buffalo lost a 4th straight Super Bowl here in Cowboy Land, I made a bet before the game with a Cowboys fan lost, and in my Tech 8 class we had to make a T-shirt, and I had to make a damn Buffalo 0-4 T-shirt and wear it for a whole day. Longest damn day of my life. I burned that damn thing when I got home.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing that, just maybe it made me say bad words this morning. I'm telling you what. But you know what? We've got the party train about down here in the house. The future's bright in Buffalo. We got our quarterback.
You do.
I don't know what else to say, but I'm not mad at the Bills. They gave me a hell of a season, the best season in 27 years. So anybody hates on the Bills, they can suck it too.
They're not
a true fan.
Ladies and gentlemen,
and
Matt in Oklahoma.
Go about your business, and I hope you stomp Tom Brady the Super Bowl. Go Bills, Bills Mafia. I'll talk to you guys next week.
You got it. Man, the Bills, if they had made it.
Oh, man.
Jim Kelly and Thurman and Andre Reed, who were on Game Day Morning yesterday, pointed out that Tampa was their first Super Bowl in Tampa. The old Sombrero is where that amazing game that Scott Norwood, as we all know, finished it. But that game with them against the Giants was one of the best Super Bowls ever. Okay? It was highly competitive as opposed to their other three that they played. It was, oh my gosh, it was an incredible game with a horrible finish for the Bills. But and then the person they would have faced is a guy who, other than the Wilson and Pegula families, own the Bills. You know, Brady 32-3 against him. I mean, that guy standing there for them to be able to get their ultimate revenge. It would have been a heck of a matchup. But they didn't earn it. And the Chiefs are a better team. And it just goes to show you again, how remarkable Brady and Mahomes are when Brady was Mahomes' age.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing, too, is I keep mentioning this. The next 2 weeks is going to be filled with that whole question. Well, Brady has won the who's more important to New England, Brady or Belichick thing, which is nonsense. Nonsense. As if Belichick didn't put this kid on the field once Bledsoe came back, which at the time, anyone from New England will tell you, was a huge to-do. And then Bledsoe came off the bench and won the AFC Championship game in which Brady got hurt, and it did not look very good for them against the Steelers. And guess who won the day? Bledsoe. And there was that time where Belichick, for a second time that year, had to tell everybody, this kid's not a flash in the pan. We're going to stick with him. And as a matter of fact, when the game is on the line and we could basically take a knee and play for overtime, we're not going to do that. We're going to trust him, and we're going to play our game, and we're going to win it. And that's how the Brady legend was born. And it's not easy to do your first time in it. And Mahomes, first time in it, lost to Brady. Lost to Brady. Last year, no Brady, he won it. Now, here comes Brady again. And it's going to be dynamite. And it's not easy. It's just not easy to do. Josh Allen, you know, I think I saw, I forget whose tweet it was, and I apologize that I don't have it right here. But Josh Allen, you know, I saw this tweet yesterday that, you know, the Bills would not win if the 2019 Mahomes or 2019 Allen showed up in the AFC Championship game, and both did. It was the first time this year that Allen's looked a little bit lost and out of sorts. First time all year, even in the losses that they had.
Yep.
You know, the Chiefs did put the bang thing on in the first time they saw him. It's definitely the two games this year, two of the worst games he played this year were against the Chiefs, and you must tip your cap, figuratively, to the Chiefs' defense. And Spagnuolo versus Brady is going to be another storyline. I'll have my usual top 10 Super Bowl storylines later on this week.
I love that segment.
Front-loading all the storylines for you a week in advance before you're sick and tired of all of them. It's just not easy. And at least, you know, you got this going for you, Bills fans. Josh Allen is smart enough and wise enough to know when failure can help him. This week, when I interviewed him for game day morning, I asked him, when's that moment where things clicked for you? You got a moment that clicked? And his response was throwing three interceptions against the Patriots last year in week 16, where I thought to myself, what am I doing here? Out of failure, he made success. What? Gold out of straw. The Rumpelstiltskin of quarterbacks. But I will not call him that because he's already got a nickname, which he has accepted. You guys always make fun of me.
Well, because you got a lot of L's.
I've got a lot of losses. I got a lot of losses. I got a lot of losses.
From the main
Matt
guy,
Ryan
right
doesn't like the Mattrel.
You got to move on.
He even
you
said this
move on.
After my many, many
you,
years.
You got to move on.
Thank you for playing the I love you part.
He added the I love you
okay?
Rich.
I even tried to, again, call him the Mattrel instead of Matty Ice. He rejected it. I kept trying. Even in between, I offered it to Matt Stafford, not knowing that at the time that he and Matt Ryan are like actually best friends, and I'm trying to pawn off sloppy seconds.
Get your damn act together.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Jones.
And you're trying to bastardize it for Mahomes.
Then I turn to the Patrol, it's terrible.
Yeah. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
But I did term Josh Allen the Mandalorian quarterback and used real estate handed to me by NFL Network for this conversation that aired on NFL Game Day Morning to ask him about this, and here's how it went.
I don't know if you're aware of a nickname that I've come up for you, Josh.
Oh.
The Mandalorian quarterback.
Okay.
I've never heard that one. What does that mean?
Well, have you watched The Mandalorian?
I have not.
Okay, he's a bounty hunter with a helmet, which he never removes because it's part of his code.
I'm intrigued.
He has one job to do, and he's not going to give up until he completes it. And there's also a character, little mini Yoda, baby Yoda, who I think would be Cole Beasley.
Okay. I do like that.
You do like it, because again, I've been trying to give nicknames to people, quarterbacks in the league, for a very long time, and none of them have stuck. And everybody watching on Game Day Morning right now is ready to give me crap if you don't like it.
Now I gotta watch The Mandalorian.
You'll accept it, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. With honor.
Thank you. With honor.
With honor.
With honor.
And that didn't make the piece, too, is that was only, again, my producers editing out the best part to try and make me look ridiculous.
Wow.
Like you guys taking out the I love you part of the Matt Ryan saying you got to move on.
Settle down just a little bit.
He asked me if it was the Mandalorian's job to protect Baby Yoda.
Oh.
I said, yes, it was. That's when he was absolutely all in.
Is that a spoiler alert for Mandalorian?
I mean,
no.
Yeah.
No, it's obvious from the very beginning that it's his job to protect Baby Yoda.
I loved him just going, I'm intrigued.
Yeah. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. He's smart. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He's the future.
I'm a big fan. Even though he's in Buffalo, big fan of Josh Allen.
Like I said, I posted something on our Twitter, like me meeting him outside of AT&T Stadium.
That was awesome.
He was just walking to the bus and giving me a little walk and talk. And I was like, I like this guy now.
Good.
He's my man.
That'll take us to the end of our program here today. I want to thank Peter King and Ariel Helwani and you. On Tuesday's show, Aldis Hodge returns to this program.
Nice.
He's playing one night in Miami. He's playing Jim Brown.
So this movie has big time buzz.
Casey Affleck, an Oscar winner. He's on tomorrow's program as well. So we've got a lot cooking on our show. And the rest of this week is just dynamite as well. Rob Corddry's going to return this week. Derrick Henry's going to be on the show this week. And also tomorrow, Brandon Staley, the new HC of the LAC, the Los Angeles Chargers. Okay. We're putting up Patrick Mahomes saying he doesn't like my Patrick. That's how we're going to break. That's how we're going out of the day.
The ha-ha, though.
And here I was ready to have a great Monday. We'll see you on Tuesday. We're back on Peacock in a second, though.